It's so wonderful to see so many new ladies join our Bible study, even from outside our church. 105 women signed up. It's just really been a blessing to see so many women hunger for God's word and want to know and understand it. So I want to make sure that everybody has a binder, and if you need one or you need to pay for one, you can see Mary tonight. What you picked up when you came in was an outline as well as a tentative schedule for the year. So you can look at that. And then I also, on one of the pages, I put down from Blue Letter Bible and Precept Austin, just some reputable men that wrote commentaries on the book of Titus that you can access free online. So there's others, of course, you can purchase, you know, buy commentaries, but I just wanted to give some that you could do very easily online as you study this book. So I want us all, let me read Colossians 1, 28 and 29 first. Colossians 1 says, verse 28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. And then 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. These are familiar verses. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And so, ladies, that's those verses. That's why this study is before you, because we want all of us as women to handle accurately God's word, to understand what his precious truths say. In order for that to happen, each of us need to know how to dig deeply on our own. We want to be able to feed ourselves daily on the word of God. So this kind of study, if it's new for you, don't worry, because that's why we're allowing so much time in small groups this year. We want the small groups to be a rich time of fellowship. We want to be able to help one another study and learn. And we want to discuss with each other how God is using his word, specifically in the book of Titus, to conform us to be more like Christ, our Savior. On top of that, we're going to be able to have time to deepen biblical friendships with other women who love the Lord. And that has been my prayer for this study. That's what I hope we can accomplish throughout this year. So some helpful suggestions are: read completely through all the questions before you even start to work on this, your next week's lesson. And if, ladies, if you would work on a few questions a day, you will have time to finish the lesson, bar any unforeseen circumstances in your life. There are lessons that have many scriptures to look up. And so what I did was I bolded some of those. So if that week, perhaps you don't have all the time that you thought you would, you can at least try to make time to read the bolded verses instead of like all five. There's maybe two or three that I had bolded. So on the board, the whiteboard up here, you can read Sinclair Ferguson. I love this quote. We are to work at Bible study. The scriptures do not disclose their riches to lazy minds and hearts. What does that say? What did I underline? Work. Bible study is work. And then Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Let me encourage you to read and prepare each week, pray before you come, and plan for change. One of my, you know me for always putting quotes either on the board or in our lessons, real biblical change is never forged in the furnace of good intentions. So what I want to pray and hope to see is that there's 105 of us signed up for Bible study this year. That is such a praise. That's such a blessing. And I hope that most, if not all, of you at the end of this lesson in what I think is maybe February or even March, I hope that all of us are still working hard and being here, and that we end as well as we began. So let me now transition over to our teaching for this morning. Just kind of an overview, of, not even an overview view, an introduction to our book of Titus. If you look at your handout, there were so many names that we could title this book, but I have Adorning the Doctrine of God by Living a Life that Bears Witness to the Gospel. The letter to Titus that we're about to embark on this year is much like Paul's letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy I'm referring to. They have one thing in common. Paul wrote these three letters to encourage and strengthen these two young pastors, Titus and Timothy, for they had played a significant role in both of their lives. Paul had trained these men, and both were highly capable and gifted by the Holy Spirit to do the job God had for them. We refer to 1 and 2 Timothy in the book of Titus as pastoral epistles. That's why many of the commentaries you might find that all three of these books are in one volume. They are called that because, like I mentioned, they're directed to pastors, exhorting them to their diligence in the calling that God has for them. Another observation about the pastoral epistles we note is that Paul heavily stresses the importance of sound doctrine in 1 and 2 Timothy, whereas in Titus, he dwells heavily on sound behavior, on truth, which leads to godliness. Each of these letters are personal as far as they are written to an individual, but don't be mistaken, they are not private. And they are not for pastors and leaders only. They are for all people, for all churches, for all times. They are important books as well as very practical. And our focus this year is going to be on the book of Titus. We could simply summarize Titus in this way. Chapter 1, the importance of doctrine and duty in the church. Chapter 2, the importance of doctrine and duty in the home. And chapter 3, the importance of doctrine and duty in the world. I want us to think back to the book of Acts for a minute. The disciples and Paul were spreading the news of the risen Christ, the good news of the gospel. They were declaring the message that Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners, to make an atoning sacrifice for people, for the sins of all who would come to put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And what happened? The powerful work of the Holy Spirit used their preaching and the teaching to draw some Jews and Gentiles alike to repent of their sins and by faith receive Christ. Congregations were scattered throughout. Here in Titus, specifically where? Yes, on the island of Crete. Christ had not only saved them, but Christ changed them. They were now new groups of converts, redeemed people, living for one passion, to glorify and to magnify Jesus Christ. They were gathering together wherever the gospel was preached. The church was birthed, the beginning of what we call the church age, the age you and I are still living in. The church was a new invention in the New Testament. They were encountering something new. When you and I get something new or encounter something that we have never had before, what do we need that would be very helpful? Yes, instructions, right? Kent and I recently purchased a new grill. When we opened the box, oh my goodness, there were hundreds of pieces, small and large. We were so thankful that they included step-by-step instructions and that they were actually written in English. It took over 3 hours for both of us to put this thing together. We followed those instructions line by line. But guess what? When it was all said and done, and the instructions truly paid off, we started the grill and it lit up and worked. Honestly, I have to confess that I stood back quite a ways thinking the grill could possibly explode. Just as Kent and I needed an instruction manual as to how to put this grill together in order for it to work and to function correctly, Paul, led by the Spirit of God, wrote this letter to Titus to convey specific responsibilities and instructions for him. The letter would also convey, through Titus, a message to the various congregations to help the churches to act and serve one another according to God's plan and purpose. Paul's letter to Titus does not focus on explaining or defending doctrine, in contrast to what he does so often in other books, other letters that he wrote. Why? Well, remember, Paul had already spent time teaching in Crete with Titus. He had full confidence in Titus's theological understanding, and therefore he was able to entrust this ministry to Titus, knowing that he's capable to oversee such a difficult and delicate mission. Since the churches on Crete were new, Paul's concern for Titus focuses less upon false teachers per se, and more upon the church as God's people in the world. Yes, we don't get out of chapter 1 without reading that the book does serve to warn against false teaching, but notice that Paul's instructions, much of them, deal with Titus's need to set in order what had not yet been accomplished in these churches. This short letter is going to help us gain an understanding of what God requires of those who will lead in the churches, but also what God requires of those who will be led. And ladies, that's each one of us. It serves to encourage godly behavior that will be attractive to the world in its thrust. Its purpose is very evangelistic. It was written to encourage Titus to build strong churches that would be effective in evangelism. Titus was to help the people toward exemplary Christian behavior for the sake of winning outsiders to Jesus Christ. So this book gives specific instructions, yes, to specific groups of people, elders, false teachers, the older men, the younger men, the older women and younger women, bond slaves. And I bet you're wondering why we need to study a book where there's so much about roles and duties that don't apply directly to us. And hopefully that is a question that will be answered as we work our way through Titus, one verse at a time. Titus is going to also help us get a clearer picture of how we should view the church. Our culture is consumed with body image, whereas the Bible is concerned about body mentality, not body image. We are saved to serve Christ and to serve one another in the church. Our study will help us to know and understand what it means to belong to a group of believers, to belong to the church, teaching us how we can dwell together, relate to one another in the body of Jesus Christ, and live in unity with one another. The believer's goal is not just to attend church. It's to be part of a church. There's reason it's important to meet each week and not just watch church online. Perhaps your coming to Christ had something to do with what you saw and experienced in a local body, a church. After being married for maybe less than a year or up to a year, the gospel was shared with Kent and I. The Lord opened my eyes to the truth of it, the gospel, especially for me when I read Ephesians 2, excuse me, and I saw from God's word that good works were not going to save me and give me eternal life in heaven as I was taught for so many years, for by faith only, not works. So going to church, doing confession, thinking maybe I wasn't as bad as a lot as some others, all of that had nothing to do with salvation. The Lord had to open my eyes to see that my sin and my need for a Savior, my sinfulness in light of God's perfect holiness, had to be understood before I could get to the good news of the gospel. The Word of God says that all have sinned and come short, fall short of the glory of Christ. Christ, who knew no sin, died a horrible death, and by his blood the wrath of God would be satisfied. We were beautifully taught this past Sunday that it was by God's great mercy that caused us to be born again to a living hope. It was then, 48 years ago, that I repented of my sin and by faith received Christ as Lord and Savior. This is the sacred gospel which our Redeemer brought from heaven and sealed with his blood. Ladies, we are not ready to live if we are not ready and prepared to die. If there is any doubt tonight that you are not ready and prepared, let me encourage you to not leave this study without talking to someone. Maybe the person who brought you, maybe your small group leader or the assistant, but please be ready and prepared. Back to my illustration. So now I'm saved, but not my husband. Took him a little bit more time in convincing. We were encouraged to attend this church, and it was different from the Catholic church that we had attended and went to, when it was convenient, I might add. So Kent and I start going to this church, I as a brand new believer, and Kent going along for the ride. The service was different than anything we had experienced. The people actually sang, and they listened with their Bibles in hand as the preacher gave the sermon. But what really was quite unusual for us was that afterwards, the people didn't all rush out. They stayed around. They talked to each other after the service. So we experienced Sunday mornings for a bit, and then we were invited by some people to attend what they call the Come To Club. Yes, you're laughing. It was a club from at the church that met for couples. So it met each month. Sometimes we would go bowling or they'd hang out at a restaurant, Dairy Queen somewhere. Sometimes we'd play games at the church. Kent and I would leave these gatherings and talk about all the fun, all the laughing that took place. And what was so different for us was it took place without the use of drugs or alcohol. We didn't know at the time, but we were getting a front row seat to body life in a Bible teaching church. God used some of these believers in this local church to show us tangibly the love of Christ. We were attracted to their lives, and that's what actually drew us to the church Sunday after Sunday. In God's providence, there was one man in particular who befriended Kent with his long hair and all. He wasn't saved yet, but he didn't judge him. Instead, he would talk to him about Christ. His wife told us afterwards, months later, when Kent had already got saved, that she was actually fearful. She was scared when Kent would come late at night, knocking on the door, needing to talk to this man. Well, we honestly can't remember too much, really, anything from the sermons from Sunday mornings. Not to say there wasn't something worth remembering, but after 48 years, we will never forget some of those people. God used those saints in a significant way to bring Kent to himself and to teach both of us what the love of the brethren should look like, adorning the doctrine of God by living a life that bears witness to the gospel. Yes, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. No one is saved apart from what the Word of God teaches about it. But the church and the lives of her people can be the very platform that God may use to attract and draw someone to himself. Keep in mind, Titus's ultimate purpose was to prepare the church for being a more effective witness to outsiders. So, if you have been reading through the book of Titus, you may have picked up on three very dominant themes. I picked up on grace, faith, and good deeds. So embracing grace, loving godliness, and sharing Christ were not charges to the early church. They were not just charges, I should say, to the early church believers, and are not solely the responsibility of pastors and elders in the church. They are exhortations for any of us who call ourselves disciples of Christ today. Christ died precisely to create a people for his own possession, people who would be zealous for good works. The book of Titus is going to teach us that the lives of those who have been saved by God's amazing grace will also be transformed by God's amazing grace. God's purpose is that his people in his church would live lives that adorn the doctrine of God in every respect, which bear witness to the good news of the gospel, and that will not dishonor God's word. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let me quote from John MacArthur, and as you listen carefully to these words, make it personal by evaluating your life in light of Titus's message and the notes on this commentary. Quote, "Paul knew that the saving truth of the gospel message falls on deaf ears when those proclaiming it live ungodly lives that show no evidence of redemption. When Christians live in open sin, they can hardly expect unbelievers to heed a message that purports to save men from sin. One of the most compelling testimonies a Christian can give is that of a righteous, a holy, and a self-giving life." End of quote. I want to end tonight by reading Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, some of my favorite verses, especially from the book of Titus and even in the Bible. Titus 2, 11 through 14, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." So that is the end for my teaching tonight. It was short, but my goal was really to allow as much time as possible in small groups for you all to acquaint yourself to one another and to really work through those questions that you did at home, but then to spend time working together, learning together how to do observations of a text. Thank you for being here. I pray that you will be blessed as we study God's words together.